Starless Night, Chapter 25, The Desperate Run. Matron Benray swelled with pride as the ritual continued, undisturbed by the events in the compound. She did not know that Dandrag and Bourguignon had gone out from the chapel, did not know that her vicious Duc Toc was dead, slain by the very renegade Matron Benray hoped to soon present before the other ruling matron mothers. All that Matron Benray knew was the sweet taste of power. She had brought together the most powerful alliance in recent drow history, with herself at its head. She had outmaneuvered Kirill Odrin, always a clever one, and had virtually cowed Mesberis Armgo, the second most influential drow in all the city. Loth was smiling brightly on the matron mother of House Benray, she believed. All she heard was the singing and not the sound of battle, and all she saw, looking up, was the magnificent illusion of the Spider Queen going through its perpetual shift from arachnid to drow and back to arachnid. How could she, or any of the others, watching that specter with similar awe, know of the raging fight nearly 1,000 feet above the roof of that domed chapel along the bridged stalactites of House Benray? "A tunnel!" Catterby cried to Drizzt. She grabbed him by the shoulder and turning him toward the still levitating dead drow. Drizzt looked up as though he did not understand. "Up above!" she cried. Catterby brought her bow up and fired again into the general area. The arrow slammed into the base of the stalactite, but did not go through.
"It's up there, I tell you!"
the young woman exclaimed.
"Another tunnel, above the cavern!"
Drizzt looked doubtfully to the area. He did not question Catterby's claim, but he had no idea of how they might get to this supposed tunnel. The closest walkway was fully 12 feet from the area, and to get to that walkway, though it was barely 30 feet away from and a few feet higher than their current position, the companions would have to take a roundabout route many hundreds of yards of running.
"What is it?"
cried Entreri, rushing back to join his hesitating companions. Looking past them back down the walkway, the assassin saw the forms of many gathering drow. "There may be a tunnel above us," Drizzt quickly explained. Entreri's scowl showed that he hardly believed the information valuable, but his doubts only spurred Catterby on. Up came her bow, and off flew the arrows, one after another, all aimed for the base of that stubborn stalactite. A fireball exploded on their walkway not far behind them, and the whole bridge shuddered as the metal and stone in the area of the blast melted and shifted, threatening to break apart. Catterby spun about and let fly 2 quick shots, killing one drow and driving the others back behind the protection of the closest supporting stalactite. From somewhere in the darkness ahead, Gwenhiver growled and crossbows clicked.
"We must be off!"
Entreri prodded them, grabbing Drizzt and trying to tug him on. The ranger held his ground, though, and watched with faith as Catterby turned again to the side and fired another of her arrows. It smacked solidly into the weakened stone. The targeted stalactite groaned in protest and slipped down on one side to hang at an awkward angle. A moment later, it fell free into the far drop below. For a moment, Drizzt thought that it might hit the purple glowing chapel dome, but it smashed to the stone floor a short distance away, shattering into 1,000 pieces. Drizzt, his ears keen, widened his eyes as he focused on the hole, a flicker of hope evident in his expression.
"Wind," he explained breathlessly. "Wind from the tunnel."
It was true. An unmistakable sound of rushing wind emanated from the hole in the ceiling as the air pressure in the caves above adjusted to match the air pressure in the great cavern.
"But how are we to get there?"
Catterby asked. Entreri, convinced now, was already fumbling with his pack. He took out a length of rope and a grappling hook and soon had the thing twirling above him. With one shot, he hooked it above the bridge nearest the tunnel. Entreri rushed to the nearest railing of his own walkway and tied off the rope, and Drizzt, without the slightest hesitation, hopped atop the cord and gingerly began to walk out. The agile drow picked up speed as he went, gaining confidence. That confidence was shattered when an evil dark elf suddenly appeared. Coming out of an invisibility enchantment, he slashed at the rope with his fine-edged sword. Driz dropped flat to the rope and held on desperately. Two cuts sliced it free of the grappling hook, and Driz swung down like a pendulum, rocking back and forth 10 feet below his companions on the walkway. The enemy drow's smug smile was quickly wiped away by a silver streaking arrow. Driz started to climb, then stopped and flinched as a dart whistled past. Another followed suit, and the drow looked down to see a handful of soldiers approaching, levitating up and firing as they came. Entreri tugged fiercely at the rope, trying to help the ranger back to the walkway. As soon as Driz grabbed the lip, the assassin pulled him over, then took the rope from him. He looked at it doubtfully, wondering how in the 9 hells he was supposed to hook it again over the distant walkway without the grappling hook. Entreri growled determinedly and made the cord into a lasso, then turned to search for a target. Driz threw one knee over the bridge and tried to get his feet under him, just as a thunderous blast struck the walkway right below them. Both the ranger and Catterby were knocked from their feet. Driz fell again, to hang by his fingertips, and the stone under Catterby showed an unmistakable crack. A crossbow quarrel hit the stone right in front of the drow's face. Another popped against the bottom of his boot, but did not get through. Then Driz was glowing, outlined by distinctive fairy fire, making him an even easier target. The ranger looked down to the approaching dark elves and called upon his own innate abilities, casting a globe of darkness in front of them. Then he pulled himself up over the lip of the bridge to find Catterby exchanging volleys with the dark elves behind them on the walkway, and Entreri, pulling in the thrown lasso, cursing all the while.
"I've no way to hook it,"
the assassin growled, and he didn't have to spell out the implications. Drow were behind them and below them, inevitably working their way toward the band. The walkway, weakened by the magical assaults, seemed not so secure anymore, and just to seal their doom, the companion saw Gwenhiver rushing back to them, apparently in full retreat.
"We're not to surrender,"
Catterby whispered, her eyes filled with determination. She put another arrow back down the walkway, then fell to her belly and hooked her arms over the lip. The ascending drow wizard was just coming through Driz's darkness globe, a wand pointed for the walkway. Catterby's arrow hit the wand squarely, split it apart, then gashed the drow's shoulder as it whistled past him. His scream was more of terror than of pain as he regarded his shattered wand, as he considered the release of magical energy that would follow. With typical drow loyalty, the wizard threw the wand below him into the darkness and into the midst of his rising companions. He urged his levitation on at full speed to get away from the unseen crackling lightning balls and heard the horrified calls of his dying companions. He should have looked up instead, for he never knew what hit him as Catterby's next arrow shattered his backbone. That threat eliminated, or at least slowed, the young woman went back to her knees and opened up another barrage on the stubborn dark elves behind her on the walkway. Their hand crossbows couldn't reach Catterby, and they couldn't hope to hurl their javelins that far, but the woman knew that they were up to something, plotting some way to cause havoc. Gwenhiver was no ordinary panther. It possessed an intelligence far beyond the norm of its feline kind. Coming fast toward the cornered companions, Gwenhiver quickly discerned their troubles and their hopes. The panther was sorely wounded, carrying a dozen poison crossbow darts in its hide as it ran, but its fierce loyalty was fully with Driz. Entreri fell back and cried aloud as the cat suddenly rushed up and bit the rope from his hand. The assassin went immediately for his weapons, thinking that the cat meant to attack him, but Gwenhiver skidded to a stop, knocking both Entreri and Driz several feet back, turned a right angle and leaped away, flying through the air. Gwenhiver tried to stop, claws raking over the top of the target walkway's smooth stone. The cat's momentum was too great, though, and Gwenhiver, still clamping tightly to the rope, pitched over the far side, coming to a jerking stop at the rope's end, some 20 feet below the bridge. More concerned for the cat than himself, Driz instinctively sprang out onto the taut rope and ran across, without regard for the fact that Gwenhiver's hold was tentative at best. Entreri grabbed Catterby and pulled her over, motioning for her to follow the drow.
"I cannot walk a tight rope,"
the desperate woman explained, eyes wide with horror.
"Then learn,"
The assassin roughly replied, and he pushed Catterby so hard that she nearly fell right over the side of the walkway. Catterby put one foot on the rope and started to shift her weight to it, but she fell back immediately, shaking her head. Entreri leaped past her, onto the rope.
"Work your bow well," he explained, "and be ready to untie this end."
Catterby did not understand, but had no time to question as Entreri sped off, walking as sure-footed along the hemp bridge as had Drizzt. Catterby fired down the walkway behind her, then had to spin about and fire the other way ahead, at those drow who had been pursuing Gwenhyver. She had no time to aim either way as she continued to turn back and forth, and few of her arrows hit any enemies at all. Catterby took a deep breath. She sincerely lamented the future that she would never know. But she followed the sigh with a resigned but determined smile. If she was going down, then Catterby had every intention of taking her enemies down with her, had every intention of offering Drizzt his freedom. Some of those inside the great Benray Chapel had heard and felt the stalactite crash on the compound's floor, but only slightly, since the chapel's walls were of thick stone, and 2,000 drow voices within the place were lifted in frantic song to Loth. Matron Benray was notified of the crash several moments later, when Sos Umptu, her daughter in charge of chapel affairs, found the opportunity to whisper to her that something might be amiss out in the compound. It pained Matron Benray to interrupt the ceremony. She looked around at the faces of the other matron mothers, her only possible rivals, and remained convinced that they were now wholly committed to her and her plan. Still, she gave Sos Umptu permission to send out, discreetly, a few members of the chapel's elite guard. Then the first matron mother went back to the ceremony, smiling as though nothing was out of the ordinary. Except, of course, this extraordinary gathering was going on. So secure was Matron Benray in the power of her house that her only fear at that time was that something might disturb the sanctity of the ceremony, something might lessen her in the eyes of Loth. She could not imagine the antics of the three fugitives and the panther far, far above. Hanging low over the bridge, coaxing his dear wounded companion, Drizzt did not hear Entreri touch down on the stone behind him.
"There is nothing we can do for the cat,"
the assassin said roughly, and Drizzt spun about, noticing immediately that Catterby was in dire straits across the way.
"You left her?" the ranger cried. "She could not cross,"
Entreri spat back in his face.
"Not yet."
Drizzt, consumed by rage, went for his blades, but Entreri ignored him and focused back on Catterby, who was kneeling on the stone, fumbling with something that the assassin could not discern.
"Untie the rope," Entreri called. "But hold fast as you do, and swing out."
Drizzt, thinking himself incredibly stupid for not understanding Entreri's designs, released his grip on his weapon hilts and dived down to help Entreri brace the hemp. As soon as Catterby untied the other end, 600 pounds of pressure from the falling panther would yank the rope. Drizzt held no illusions that he and Entreri could hold the panther aloft for more than a short while, but they had to make the tug on the other end of the rope less violent so that Catterby would be able to hold on. The young woman made no immediate move for the rope, despite Entreri's screams and the dark elves approaching from both sides. Finally, she went for it, but came up immediately and cried out,
"Shorin, it's too tight!"
"Damn, she has no blade,"
Entreri groaned, realizing his mistake. Drizzt drew out Twinkle and skipped back atop the rope, determined to die beside his dear Catterby. But the young woman hooked Tolmoril over her shoulder and leaped out onto the tentative bridge, wearing an expression of sheer terror. She came across hanging under the hemp, hands and knees locked tight. 10 feet out, then 15, halfway to her friends. The Dark Elves closed quickly, seeing that no more of those wicked arrows would be coming at them. The lead drow were nearly up to the rope, hand crossbows coming up, and Catterby would be an easy target indeed. But then, the Dark Elves in front skidded to a sudden stop and began scrambling to get away, some leaping off the bridge. Drizzt did not understand what he was seeing and had no time to sort out as a ball of fire exploded on the other walkway right between the converging groups of Dark Elves. Walls of flames rolled out at Drizzt, and he fell back, throwing his hands up in front of him. A split second later, Entreri cried out, and the rope, burned through the other side of the walkway, began to whip past them, with Gwenhyra more than balancing Catterby's weight. Entreri and Drizzt were quick enough to dive and grab at the rope when it stopped flying past, when valiant Gwenhyra, understanding that Catterby would be knocked from her tentative grasp as she collided with the side of the walkway, let go and plummeted into the darkness. The bridge across the way creaked apart and fell, crashing against one levitating drow who had survived the wand explosion and dropping those dark elves remaining on the platform. Most of those still alive could levitate and would not fall to their deaths, but the explosion had certainly bought the companions precious time. Catterby, her face red from heat and small flames dancing along her cloak, kept the presence of mind to reach up and grab Drizzt's offered hand.
"Let Gwen go!"
she pleaded breathlessly, her lungs pained by the heat, and Drizzt understood immediately. Still holding fast to the woman's hand, the ranger fished the figurine out of Catterby's pouch and called for Gwenhyra to be gone. He could only hope that the magic took hold before the panther hit the floor. Then the ranger heaved Catterby up to the walkway and wrapped her in a tight hug. Entreri, meanwhile, had retrieved the grappling hook and was tying it off. A deft shot put the thing through the hole Catterby had created by blasting away the stalactite.
"Go!"
the assassin said to Drizzt, and the drow was off, climbing hand over hand as Entreri anchored the rope around the middle railing. Catterby went next, not nearly as fast as Drizzt, and Entreri shouted curses at her, thinking that her slowness would allow their enemies to catch up with them. Drizzt could already see dark elves levitating up from the cavern floor beneath his newest position, though it would take them many minutes to get that high.
"It is secured," Drizzt called from the tunnel above, and all were indeed relieved to learn that there truly was a tunnel above and not just a small cubby.
Entreri let go of his hold, then sprang onto the rope as it swung directly under the hole. Drizzt pulled Catterby in and considered the climbing man. He could cut the rope and drop Entreri to his death, and surely the world would have been a better place without the assassin. But honor held Drizzt to his word, to Catterby's word. He could not dispute the assassin's daring efforts to get them this far, and he would not now resort to treachery. He grabbed Entreri when the man got close and hauled him in. Holding Tolmeril, Catterby went back to the hole, looking for any dark elves that might be on their way. Then she noticed something else. The purple fairy fire of the great dome chapel, almost directly below her position. She thought of the expression on the faces of those drow at the high ritual inside, if Gwenhyra had crashed through that roof. And that notion led her mind to other ideas. She smiled wickedly as she looked again to the dome and to the ceiling above it. The tunnel was natural and uneven, but wide enough for the three to walk abreast. A flash stole the darkness up ahead, telling the companions that they were not alone. Drizzt ran ahead, scimitars in hand, thinking to clear the way. Entreri moved to follow, but hesitated, seeing that Catterby was inexplicably going back the other way.
"What are you about?" the assassin demanded.
But the woman didn't answer. She merely fitted an arrow to her bow, and she measured her steps. She fell back and cried out as she crossed a side passage and a drow soldier leaped out at her, but before he got his sword in line, a hurled dagger sank into his ribcage. Entreri rushed in, meeting the next drow in line, calling for Catterby to run back the other way to join Drizzt.
"Hold them!"
was all the explanation the young woman offered, and she continued on in the opposite direction.
"Hold them!"
Entreri echoed. He cut down the second drow in line and engaged the third as two others ran off the way they had come. Drizzt careened around a bend, even leaped onto the curving wall to keep his desperate speed.
"Valiant,"
came a greeting call, spoken in the drow tongue, and the ranger slowed and stopped when he saw Dantrag and Bergignon Benray sitting casually atop their lizard mounts in the middle of the passage.
"Valiant attempt,"
Dantrag reiterated, but his smile mocked the whole escape, made Drizzt feel that all their efforts had done no more good than offer amusement to the cocky weapons master and his unbeatable charge.